The Holy Gospel for today, this fifth Sunday in Lent, is from the Gospel of St. John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once again, because of the length of the Gospel, I invite you to be seated and to simply listen to the Gospel's reading or to follow along in your worship bulletin also. John chapter 11. And it's not the whole chapter this week. There's more before and after. So go home and read chapters 10 and 11, the whole thing. But John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death, rather it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. After having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said to the disciples, go to Judea again. The disciples said to Jesus, Rabbi, the Judeans were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Judeans had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of God. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to Jesus, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Judeans who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Judeans who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Judeans said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, greatly again disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Judeans, therefore, who had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The text for today's sermon is the Gospel of St. John, which was just read, the whole 11th chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is the last Sunday of our Lenten journey. Our Lenten journey through the wilderness of the 40 days of Lent. Today is the last Sunday of our bread and soup meal. Yay. Some people thought it was last Sunday. No, it's this Sunday. Yay. And the chef is with us. Next Sunday, we make the triumphal entry into Jerusalem with Jesus and his followers. Palm Sunday, as it's called, or the Passion of Our Lord Sunday. And next Sunday, we will read, as we have done for the past 15 years of my being with you as the pastor, the Passion narrative, and you will act out the parts of it. We get a foretaste of the great celebration of Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, in 2 weeks, with this resurrection story today of Jesus' best friend, Lazarus. It's the seventh sign or seventh miracle that points to who Jesus is. And so Jesus has that great confession, "I am the resurrection and the life." We begin with the changing of the water into wine at the wedding at Cana. I think in chapter 2 of John, go home and prove me wrong, look it up. And then there are seven signs, John calls them, pointing, billboards pointing to who Jesus is, or seven miracles. And you can read all of those in John's Gospel. Jesus did not bring back to life his best friend because Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were his best friends. Jesus did this miracle as a sign that God would do through him, Jesus, and his death and resurrection, the same thing. And that is, bring new life. Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, Passion of Our Lord Sunday, we make the final journey to the cross, where this all begins, death and life. On Holy Friday, Good Friday, we will come to the cross of Christ and come to our ultimate forgiveness and gift of new life. The miracle in this account from John's Gospel is the great revelation of who Jesus is. The miracle is not giving new life to Lazarus. That's just an addendum. The miracle is Jesus announcing who Jesus ultimately is. I am, that word for God, right? We've talked about that for 3 weeks now. Yahweh. I am who I am. And that's why it's capitalized in your bulletin. I am the resurrection and the life. That's the miracle. Even before Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday, even before Holy Thursday, Holy Friday, and Easter, we are given the gift of who Jesus is and what he brings to the world. The second miracle is given to us by a woman of all things. Go figure. Yay, women. Especially women of the Bible. Martha makes the great confession, even greater than all of the 12 yahoos that followed Jesus for 3 years up now. The 12 disciples, right? Martha makes the great confession, "Yes, Lord, I believe and trust and have faith that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. They have waited for hundreds of years for the Messiah of God to come and free them from occupation of Rome and Greece most recently, but from Babylon and Assyria and all the rest. They've waited for thousands of years for the Messiah to come and free them from death and bring them new life, that they might leave Babylon and Assyria and the Greek and Roman occupation and have their own statehood of Israel again. Yes, Lord, she says, I believe, I trust, I have faith that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. She knows her Bible, she knows her scriptures, and she knows who she's waiting for. And he's right there in front of her. Those are the two miracles, really, that are here, more so than giving life back to Lazarus. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But for me, the most telling and the most troubling sentence in the whole 45 verses, and it's not the whole chapter, go home and read the whole chapter, but in the first 45 verses, the most troubling sentence is this: unbind him and let him go. I have wrestled with that, especially in the past 10, 15, 20 years of my ministry. This wonderful thing has happened. This mummy, look in your bulletin, there's actually at the near the back page, the mummy coming out of the tomb with all the wrapped up clothes and that. Think Egypt. This mummy comes out of the tomb and there's life. Unbind him and let him go. The question I have to ask myself is, how do I hold on to people? How do I bind them? How do I imprison them with my own thoughts and my own beliefs of who they are? Or how do I let them go? Or in some cases, not let them go. In the past 2.5 months, the first 11 weeks of 2023, I have dealt with 11 deaths. I've not officiated any funeral. A couple of them, the family didn't want me to do that. They didn't want the funeral here. And it grieved me, and it cut me to the heart, and I still mourn that. 5 of those deaths had to deal with family members and friends of you, the congregation of St. John's. 4 of those deaths are friends of mine, and we're going to pray for 2 of them today in the prayers of the church. 4 of those deaths were friends of mine in the past 2.5 months. And then 2 of them were members of the congregation, Elaine Havlicek and Kathy Strand, that I dealt with their deaths in the past 11 weeks. I'm not a mortician. I wrote a letter to my mother and my sister, and I said, I'm getting tired because I'm not a mortician or a funeral director. They have to deal with death every week. That's their job, right? I, as a pastor, sometimes have to deal with death weeks in and weeks out, but not 11. This is a record breaker for 37 years. And the fact that they're not just community members, friends of the congregation and family members, but the fact that they're congregational members and then my friends, I'm getting to that age, folks. Yeah, I'm getting to that age where my friends are dying. And I grieve. The 2 that we pray for, I found out Monday night, Dr. Shannon Harrison, a good colleague and friend of mine, died Monday night. Luckily, I spoke to him 4 weeks ago, and he's a doctor, infectious disease doctor. He's been to Africa twice with AIDS and dealing with all that. And he was an intelligent man. He explained to me 4 weeks ago how he was going to die. And when I talked to his wife twice this week already, she said, it's exactly what happened, John. Liver cancer. I had never experienced liver cancer until this last week. I used to think bone cancer was terrible in that. That's the most painful cancer there is. But liver cancer? Ask me a coffee after you dare. I won't go into the gory details. A week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine in Florida died. He was about 10, 15 years older than me, but still a friend in Florida, who fell and cracked his hip. He didn't break it totally, but he cracked his hip. And because of the broken hip and COVID-related issues, he had had COVID, but he came out of it on the other side, long COVID, he died. I'm not willing to let go yet, especially of Dr. Shannon Harrison. That's the most recent death in my life. The first one I dealt with at the 11 was Elaine Havlicek on the 1st of January when I found out that she had died the day before. I'm still not over that one either. I'm not ready to let go of Elaine Havlicek, our member, and my friend Shannon Harrison. I'm not ready to let go. But I should. I, like Martha, should trust you are the Messiah. Yes, Lord, I believe and have faith that you are the Son of God, the one coming into the world, and that God has control and knows better than I. But I'm not willing to let go of either one of those deaths. The first one I dealt with, of the 11, Elaine, and this last one, Shannon. Because I'm still grieved over Elaine's death and how it all played out, how she wasn't buried from her home congregation of St. John's, and I'm still grieved by Shannon because it's so new. Yes, I'm getting to be an old man and my friends are dying, but I even started a list. After about the sixth or seventh death, I thought, I'm forgetting somebody. Who am I forgetting? So on my desk at home, I have a list of the 11 names of people that I pray for daily, that I might unbind them and let them go. Let them be free. Let them have new life and not have to have me deal with imprisoning them or binding them up like a mummy. Unbind him and let him go. Releasing persons and communities from the clutches of death demands something in us. It takes a lot of work to deal with death, even when we think we're prepared for it. Elaine Havlicek, 92 years old, she was ready to die before she even went 6 years before to the nursing home. We had conversations monthly about how she was ready to go and be with husband and son and with family members and friends. And in one way, I celebrate that with her. And I can let go of it and say, yay, Elaine. But in another way, I still bind it all up and grieve over the way that that death happened. Unbind him and let him go. Lazarus is going to die again. I mean, that's the part of the story that we never talk about. Lazarus is going to die again. And I believe he was dead, you know? Martha said, it's going to stink. He's been dead for 4 days. We embalmed him and everything, you know, the first, second day, but it's over. Lazarus is going to die again. Here at the grave, the tomb of Lazarus, death is denied for a time. But at another grave, some weeks later, the tomb of Jesus, Easter morning, death is overcome for good. And that's the difference. Lazarus is going to die again. Poor guy. Been through it once. Didn't buy the t-shirt. Don't want to have to do it again. But he will. And there'll be new life for him again. Because at the grave of Jesus, death was gotten rid of once and for all. Not that we don't have to die. Yes, that was part of the letter to my mom and my sister too. Death and taxes. And then, oh, by the way, we're in the third week of March. Snow every day. You have to shovel snow. You know, so we've got death, taxes, and snow. My daffodils are 7 inches tall. My tulips are busting the ground by the brick wall, and I keep shoveling ice and slush and snow, saying, go back down. I try to bind up the flowers, and they know better. It's like, we can survive. I love crocus and tulips, because in the midst of death and winter and ice and slush and snow for the past week, I only shoveled twice out of 5 days in a row. They still grow, and they still live. That's the miracle, folks. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. That's the miracle. And so death no longer has its power over us. Yes, taxes, death, and winter, shoveling snow, it's going to keep happening. I forgot. After 15 years of being here, I forgot what it's like to be in the Rocky Mountains, Jackson Hole. They're going to be shoveling snow till June. Yeah, quote me. I get the newspaper every week. 10-foot, 12-foot piles of snow against people's houses and their decks. I wrote to a friend and said, barbecuing this week? You know, because there was a barbecue just kind of underneath the snowdrift. The miracle today is simply the great revelation of who Jesus is. I am the resurrection and the life. Unbind him and let him go. Amen.